when Paul talked about the decision that he made to become a Christian, he said he suffered the loss of all things. Most of us didn't have to make that many sacrifices. But some of us had to make some very difficult ones. And it doesn't just end when we become a Christian. Oftentimes after a sermon, we have difficult choices to make, sacrifices that need to be made. There is something that we can do to make these sacrifices much easier. The easiest sacrifices are the ones where we get something more than we have to give up. And there's not a single sacrifice that God has asked us to make where that's not the case. But what we have to do is we have to do what Moses did, we have to do what Paul did, and what all God's people have to do, and that is weigh out what's the most important to us. And so, as Moses, it says, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, what that means, brethren, is that when he was taken into Pharaoh's household, she claimed him as her son. And for those 40 years, he lived as her son. In all the opulence of Egypt, in all the glory and splendor of Egypt, living in the king's household with very little that was undone. And yet, as Moses pondered and considered his relationship to God through his true mother who had nursed him, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Now, that choice has stopped multitudes of people from becoming a Christian. We've all talked with people, and we've all explained to them that when you become a Christian, you're going to have to make some changes in your lifestyle. You're going to have to stop doing things the scriptures condemn. Many people at that point go away sorrowful, but not Moses. Because Moses did something that makes every sacrifice easier, and it's given in verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Every young athlete who is asked to train is given this same motivation. And Paul will give it to us, and we'll look at it in just a few moments in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Every athlete makes sacrifices because he wants to win the prize. The prize is weighed out with the sacrifice, and the sacrifice becomes meaningless. It becomes a pleasure. Most athletes enjoy pushing their body to the point of pain because of that reward. Now, with the Christian, that exact same motivation needs to be there. Otherwise, Moses could have run into a real problem, and that would have been regret. Here's what I could have had. I've been in the wilderness now, eating this manna, dealing with all of these evil, wicked, ungodly, ungrateful people. Isn't that what the other people in Israel kept doing? We want to go back to Egypt. We remember the leeks and the onions. What they'd forgotten was the servitude and the bitterness and the harshness of the Egyptian people. Whenever we're called upon to make a sacrifice, it becomes easy if we can weigh it out. So when the choice initially comes to us as to whether we want to lose something or keep it, the losing cannot be made, as it is here, the most important thing unless we have done what Moses did. And you know, it's real easy right now for you to look at this because do you have any regrets? Is there something you had to give up as a Christian that has haunted you? Is there something that you really would like to leave Christianity? Or maybe what you've done is you've stayed with Christianity, but you're not making that sacrifice. You're living a life in which the sacrifices we promise to make are not being kept. Now, nobody but you would know that. We can all look like devout, godly Christians while we're here. We can all sing. We can all bow our head during the Lord's Supper. We can put a certain amount of money into the collection plate. We can bow our head in prayer. We can look at the preacher while the sermon is being preached. But that doesn't mean anything. God is looking at the heart. What made God look to Moses was that choice and the determination for the next 40 years that he kept, so that when God appeared to him, he already knew Moses is the man with conviction who will never look back. Aaron stumbled. The entire Israelite nation stumbled. The only person who didn't was Moses. Moses, as the Hebrew writer puts it, was faithful in all his house. And if we go back to that choice, the pleasures of sin for a season versus the reproach of Christ, he said the reproach of Christ is greater riches because he looked to the reward. And brethren, that's the one thing that we're missing out on if we still struggle with regret. If there's any regret at all, Paul said, I look back on it, it's just refuse, it's just rubbish, it's just trash. I don't have any regrets, I don't look back on anything. It's not clouding my mind, the sacrifices that I'm having to make. For some Christians it is. As they live amongst their friends and their friends are pleading with them to come back, pleading with them to get involved in these things, the attitude that we have tells a lot about ourselves and how we deal with temptation. So, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, these are sacrifices that we don't just make when we become a Christian. These are the sacrifices that we're called to make throughout the rest of our lives. And so, sometimes we have to put family second. Sometimes we have to give up family. Sometimes friends become second, or they're given up. Hobbies, a job, money, anything from verse 39 that causes me to find my life. In other words, I want to go back. I want to find that again. I want to go back to that. Lot's wife is a perfect example of that. Jesus even uses her. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back on the sacrifices you made as a Christian with longing, with regret, with a little bit of wistfulness. That is a clear sign that we're not as devout, as not as committed, and not as zealous as we ought to be. And so when we can put losing and gaining into the basket and then start weighing it out. Now, if I lose this, I'll get this. If I keep this, I'll lose this. And so we weigh it out. That's what Moses did. Moses added it all up, and he ended up deciding, like most of us have, that this life is not worth living for if it's going to lead to the loss of our soul. And no matter what we might be gaining or losing, it's not going to be worth it. Faith, true faith that God knows best, that we love God and that we trust God. And so we can change sacrifices into gains. And gains into sacrifices. Look at Paul. With what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. So Christ was on this side of the scale, and everything that he thought was important was on this side of the scale. And in order to make Christ the heavier side, he had to throw out all of the rubbish. Well, what did he throw out? Well, he threw out his nation, his job, his reputation, whatever money he had, his family. Paul suffered the loss of all things. And now how far in are we? We're in the book of Philippians. Paul's in jail. If he was converted, as most people think, somewhere around 38 or 37 AD, now it's 61. He's been a Christian a long time, at least 30 years. What was gain, I've counted loss. And now here I am looking back on it, and I can tell you that I've suffered the loss of all things, and I see it as rubbish. Is that how everything we have given up? Is that how it seems to us? If it isn't, we're not prepared to be like Paul. We're not prepared to be like Moses. It's really simple. It's just a question of what are our motivations. And brethren, it really is just based on how much you trust God. If we trust in the Lord with all our heart and we don't lean on our own understanding, there's no sacrifices at all. It's just exchanging. Exchanging worldly things for godly things. Exchanging bad hobbies for good hobbies. Exchanging people who don't love the Lord with people who do. And we can change our sacrifices into gains. And here we are, however far we are in our Christian walk. Maybe it's 20 years, maybe it's 50 years. When we change our perspective, the gain becomes heavier, and what we're giving up becomes trash. And so, when it's all said and done, this is how we should look back on every sacrifice we had to make to become a Christian. No regret, no wistfulness, no, I wish I could do it all over again, or no compromises that are trying to bring it back again. So the only way to never regret is based on the promises. These all died. I was wondering if that was, I guess you can see it. I won't do that again. These all died in faith, not having received promises. That's what Paul did. That's what Moses did. That's what every Christian has done. And that's what we have to do. The promises of God should be greater riches than all the treasures that America could give to us. And if we don't feel that way, we're at risk. We're in grave danger, because Satan can see all I have to do is put enough regret and wistful thinking and this person will go back into the world. And Jesus even talked about this in the parable of the sower. The desire for other things starts choking the word. Didn't Moses, didn't Paul, but it does some. And we have to look at our lives. We have to make a decision. Is this happening to me? Am I completely committed, converted, changed, and absolutely convicted that the kingdom is first? Don't even have to think about it. Whatever sacrifices, they're not sacrifices. So these died in faith, not having received, but having seen and greeted them from afar and confessed, they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The customs of this world cannot be tempting to the people whose citizenship is in heaven. For they that say such things make it manifest they're seeking after a country of their own. And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. Now that's exactly what we're talking about right now. If you're mindful of the country you went out. Moses wasn't. Paul wasn't. Are we? Are we mindful? Are we missing something? Regret? Wistful thinking? I sure wish I could still. If indeed they had been mindful, they would have had an opportunity. Satan's more than happy to give you that opportunity. Satan is more than happy, like he did with Jesus, to show you all the glory of the kingdoms of the world. But as Jesus said, what shall a man give if he gains the whole world but he loses his soul? I like verse 16. God is not ashamed to be called their God if they don't regret. They're not wistful. They don't look back. They aren't really tempted even anymore. They know I made the best decision. There's nothing to go back to. It was trash. It was trash when I was doing it. It's even more trash now. I can see that clearly. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Lord's Supper is a critical indicator of where we are at spiritually. If, as we remember the death, the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ, the body and the blood, and of course the resurrection is intimately tied to it, it takes away all of the regret. It takes away all of the wistfulness as we look back on what we had or what we could have. Christians who are living one step in the world, as they leave here on the first day of the week and they go back to their homes, they find many temptations. But these Christians, they don't. I mean, we're going to struggle with certain lusts that have been a problem to us, but they're going to be minor compared to what we were dealing with before we became a Christian because of this living hope. So like I said, our entire faith and understanding, it comes down to one thing. How do I feel about these things? If I'm not like Paul or Moses, then I don't have the faith that I should have yet. And I need help. And I need to make some serious changes. And I need to talk to somebody about what I need to do to change things around. And that, of course, is always an offer. If anyone here needs help, there's plenty of people here that can help. I'd be more than happy to help. But we can't go like, you remember what Elijah said? How long do you go limping between two sides? If Jehovah is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. Make a decision. Get some conviction. We can't go through life wavering, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We can't go through life. We can't grow, we can't develop without this motivation. This inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, is reserved in heaven. That's what those people in Hebrews 11 understood. And I don't see Abraham wishing to go back to his country that he'd come out of. And I certainly don't see him wishing he had never sacrificed Isaac. These were choices, and they became his greatest glory. So that living hope can crush all others. So as we look at these things and we just go through them, where are we at on it? I mean, do these promises have so much substance to us that there's no regret? There's no doubt. There's no difficulty in making the sacrifices. They make perfect sense. Because We have seen and welcomed. That's what Moses did. It's what Abraham did. It's what all of God's people have done. And it will work for us today. But like I said, this is totally internal. I couldn't even know if my wife was struggling with these things. She couldn't know if I was struggling with these things. These are things that are in our own hearts. But God can see them. And I can tell you this, God is deeply disappointed at any moment that I start manifesting any sign whatsoever that I think I could enjoy being back in the world. God is not ashamed to be called the God of people who desire a heavenly country and who trust that God's ways are better than man's ways. This is where faith meets life. And brethren, this is where, if we're going to stumble, this is where it's going to happen. This is where we're going to see the cracks in our armor. This is where we're going to see the weaknesses in our faith, is how we deal with these sacrifices. If we find ourselves wavering, if we find ourselves regretting, if we find ourselves compromising, if the cares of the world, the desires for other things are choking the word, it's a pretty basic, simple responsibility. Go back to the drawing board. Put it in the baskets again. Add it all up. Don't go limping between two sides. Because if you go limping between two sides, you're going to end up in exactly the same place as if you make the decision to go back into the world. The key, if you're a Christian, is to make it 100%. And if we can, and we do, that means we've got our priorities in the right place. We've got our hopes and our dreams in the right place. We're like Moses. We're like Paul. No regrets. No doubts. This is the best way to live. And I hope that those of you who are listening, your heart's just resonating with that. That's exactly how I feel. That's exactly how I have felt since I became a Christian. I would say to that, amen. But if we're struggling, if there's little cracks and fissures, we need to understand this is dangerous. This is something that could destroy us. So it always comes down to reasons. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. I love this verse because it describes me perfectly. And every time I read it, my heart resonates and I feel really good about it. Because as Paul, we sold everything we had to buy the field. We don't want to go back and get it. We want that field. The treasures of the kingdom of heaven, eternal life, walking with God, having our sins forgiven, having a clean conscience, these are things that are worth more than anything I could have had in the world, and I've never forgotten it. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't struggle from time to time. We certainly do. But we crush it completely and absolutely. Don't let it continue on. There are going to be times when we remember something. We remember those leeks and onions again. We go back and we think about it and then we crush it. But if we can't crush it, then we need to go back and do it again. We need to add it all up. Why am I a Christian? And if I'm going to be a Christian, remember what Jesus said? I wish you were hot or cold. This lukewarmness, I just want to spit you out of my mouth. Now, why would he say that? He would say that because that's where so many of his people end up. They're too afraid to go back into the world, but they're not convicted enough to be 100%, and so they limp between two sides. One day they're thinking, I wish I could do this. The next day they're committed to doing something else. But if we did it right, if we found the treasure in the field, and like Moses, we added it all up and we said the reproach of Christ is greater riches than the treasures of America. And so the question is, was it a sacrifice? Or was it an opportunity? I see Christianity as an opportunity. I've never seen it as a sacrifice. Anything the Lord asks us to do is far better than anything we could have had. I look back and shudder at what might have been if I had not become a Christian. And I hope all of you can do that as well. To look at what might have happened. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When I can say that with the same conviction, the same understanding, and the same emotional responses as Paul, I'm mature. I'm stable. I'm solid. And God is not ashamed to be called my God. And God has prepared a city for people just like me, and just like Moses, and just like Aaron, and just like Paul. It's not a real sacrifice. It's not a real sacrifice if there's a reward. It's just an opportunity. And we weigh it out. Every day we weigh it out. If we're trying to lose weight, and there's an ice cream sundae, we have to make a decision. If we take the Sunday, we get the short-term pleasure, but then we regret it for the rest of the day. That's how life is. You spend money. You save money. You want something. You buy it and regret it. You don't buy it, you regret it. That's the way life is. And those things don't matter. But they're illustrative of what we're dealing with as a Christian. And what God would have us understand and what God would have us reflect so that he doesn't have to be ashamed of us. You see, if God had asked Abraham to offer that sacrifice of his son, and Abraham had shrunk back, God would have been ashamed. Because he knew Abraham could do better. He'd just be shaking his head like we do sometimes with our own children when they make a choice that we knew, they knew they shouldn't have made, and we know how much they regret it now. But when the reward is high enough, it's not a sacrifice anymore. And if it feels like a sacrifice, it's because we don't believe the reward. And brethren, I just can't even imagine what it's going to be like to stand on the judgment bar on the wrong side and looking back and realizing I could have had it all. Where did I go wrong? And you'll be able to pinpoint. Matter of fact, I suspect on the judgment day, God will point it out to us. I think the judgment day is going to be an amazing revelation to a lot of people of what they really were. So, Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory. The glory is heavier. Is it heavier for you? Do we brush off suffering? Is suffering a big deal to us anymore? It really shouldn't be. Suffering is just patiently enduring so that we can receive the prize. Jesus promises every sacrifice is going to be rewarded. Maybe I did have to give up my family, but I have a better family now. I have people who truly care about me, people who would sacrifice for me in a way that my family never would have, people who would come to me and point out mistakes to me, people who truly care. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands. Pretty well covers it, doesn't he? For my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. But I'm reminded of Jesus saying, I have come that they might have life and more abundantly. I think the Christians are enjoying life and enjoying the fruits of life in a way that sinners never could. And that's why, like Paul, it's just rubbish. Because as I say, once you see the truth, it's pretty easy to deal with sacrifices. 100-fold now in this time, and in the age to come, eternal life. As I mentioned earlier, all athletes understand this. If you've ever been an athlete, if you've ever had a race or had a competition that you wanted to do well, you're going to train. You're going to train to the point of pain. That's where this no pain, no gain came from. It's people who understand if you want to play on a professional level, you're going to have to pay the price. But the price is nothing compared to the glory. I think that's how all football players feel. I think that's how all star baseball players feel. I think that's how all successful people in business or in sports or in any other activity, including Christianity, are going to feel. Do you not know that all who run in a race run? But one receives the prize. That's why they train. That's why they train and they train and they train. Maybe somebody out there is training just a little harder than me. I'm going to work a little harder. Now, they do it to compete for the prize. And they're temperate, which means they're self-controlled. They don't allow the sacrifices they're having to make. You can't eat what you want. You can't go where you want. You have to spend so many hours in this and this. And you're in a lot of pain because you want to win. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. We, for an imperishable crown. Therefore, now, here's Paul explaining to us the dynamics. Now, this is about 58 AD. He's going to write the information to the Philippians in about 3 or 4 or 5 years. Here's the dynamics behind it. I run thus, not with uncertainty. Every sacrifice, I know why, and I'm convicted, and I don't regret it. I run not with uncertainty. I fight not as one who beats the air. I'm fighting to win. What am I fighting against? The war against my soul. Peter said, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when or after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. So a coach teaching sacrifice is respected. What about a preacher? It's exactly the same, except one's spiritual and one's material. Regret is a weight. We're surrounded by Moses and Abraham, by Paul and Peter, by Jesus. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So we need to lay aside every weight. The weights that we're talking about, we've been talking about since the beginning of the lesson. And it comes down to sacrifice versus regret. Sacrifice versus looking back and wondering if I should have made that sacrifice. We need to lay aside those weights and run with patience or with not with uncertainty the race that is set before us. So, when the day of the reward comes, this is our last slide. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. That day is coming for every one of us. Maybe today. Maybe it'll be in when I turn 80. We don't know, but it's coming. And every sacrifice we make now will mean something when we die. And every sacrifice we don't do now will mean something when we die. And we need to put ourselves in fast forward and get ourselves there so we can look back and say, as Paul did, I have fought the good fight. Remember what he said? I don't beat the air. I fight with uncertainty. I finish the race. I don't run with uncertainty. I know where I'm going. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So there's our ultimate answer. What do you put on this side of the scale? I love his appearing. What do you put on this side of the scale? All the sacrifices that I have to make because he appeared. We have to keep reminding ourselves, if we lose this perspective, and so many people that we've loved and worked with along the way who had these struggles but didn't bring them to us, and suddenly it's too late, they let us know we're leaving, and you try to say, well, let's sit down and talk. No, I've already made my decision. Well, why didn't you talk to me before you made the decision? We have to keep reminding ourselves, if we lose this perspective, we could lose our soul. So this is a very practical lesson. This is a lesson designed for each one of us to tell ourselves, I'm running a race. Where am I on the course? If we can help you this morning to get back on track, to get back on course, to make a sacrifice, to put things back in the proper perspective, and commit ourselves by publicly acknowledging it to leaving it behind. That's one of the greatest things we can do. If you're at work and you let people know you're a Christian, then you've got to live up to that. But if you're at work and you are just wishy-washy, you don't have anything to live up to. Same thing is true with coming forward after we sin. So as we pick up the song of encouragement this morning, we're going to be looking at number 309. And I can certainly say it in my own heart, I'm praying. We need to be working on this. When we stand before God on the judgment day, every sacrifice is going to be a medal. Every sacrifice is going to be something we're proud of, something that we can bring to the Lord and say, Lord, I made this sacrifice for you. Now, on this side of the sacrifice, it looks like a sacrifice. On the other side, it's not a sacrifice at all. As we sing this song, if there's anyone in the audience who is not a Christian, you need to become one. And if you're here as a Christian and you're struggling, you need to leave it behind. And if we can help you in any way, would you please let us know while we together stand and sing.